Hi, what's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Hashira Half Hour. I am your host today. I am Inosuke with my damaged little sick sore throat, your frail favorite. It's Emily. As always, I am joined by Hannah and Brian.
What's up, everyone? I watched this episode while I was on the treadmill and tried total concentration breathing and also almost died like Tanjiro.
Oops.
Rip. What's up, y'all? It's your favorite Super Saiyan God, Brian, spirit bombing his way through this episode. Glad to be here. Excited to talk about rehabilitation.
And boy, are we going to rehabilitate. today's discussion, of course, is going to focus on episode 24 of Demon Slayer, Rehabilitation Training. And I think that a fitting theme for this week's episode is like a reset or resetting. We're heading into the new year. We're going to be ringing that in here tomorrow. So happy new year to everybody that's listening. You'll probably be hearing this a couple weeks late, but nonetheless, hope that you've had a nice start to your year. And we get to see our heroes reset a little bit in this episode. There's a lot that's happened. We've had some very long episodes here discussing all of the goings on, but this is a good chance for them to recuperate, recover, and to have a new beginning. So this episode opens with my favorite character. It's your boy, Rengoku. and I think that I'd forgotten that this scene actually happened, but it's nice to see the little foreshadowing here where he's preparing to head out. He's getting ready to take on a new mission. Shinobu kind of inquires about it before he leaves, and he lets her know that several corpse members have been taken out by a demon that's like unknown. So he's heading out to go help and take care of it because they can't afford to lose anybody else. She hears this and she speculates that it could be one of the 12 Kazuki again, but that if it is, Rengoku could definitely handle it if anyone could. So given what we've seen of the Kazuki so far, do you think that one Hashira can handle them alone if several core members can't?
I mean, it's a tough call, definitely. Like, we saw how much Tanjiro struggled on Mount Nanagumo, and then, you know, Giyu walked in and cut him up like butter. So, like, I feel like it depends on kind of, you know, what styles match up, right? Like, maybe water-style breathing was just better set against, you know, Rui's threads. So it's really a toss-up. You know, what we've seen of the 12 Kazuki so far is extreme power and variance in what they can do. So it's definitely a toss-up between those two.
Yeah, I would say it kind of all depends on the ranking. I think Shinobu even mentions, like, could it be an upper moon? And Rengoku was like, possibly. And that's when she said, you know, I trust you. So I think it's definitely foreshadowing that this might be a tougher battle. But as far as we know right now, the Hashira can take out the 12 Kazuki easy, because the one that we've seen, it was almost too easy. So definitely interested to see if it's going to be more of a challenge this time.
Absolutely. And I like the call out to Giyu taking one down so easily, but that it could be that their styles match up well. Makes it sound a little bit like Pokemon, but like, but there is like a point to that, right? Like, all these Hashira have reached this rank for a specific reason, and they have, over the time that they've taken and trained, developed a niche style that's like all their own. But Rengoku seems to have a lot of people's faith, you know, amongst the other Hashira, that he's like very strong. I think we can pick up a little bit just from his character design what his strengths are going to be. not that we've seen them expressly quite yet, but looking forward to getting to see it. And he seems pretty confident as well. So here's hoping that our Hashira can pull through for us. Moving on a little bit, as our trio begins their rehabilitation journey inside the Butterfly Mansion, they are given a number of tasks to attempt to recover, much to the three's exhaustion and dismay. There are some stretches that they must perform or have help performing. They have to play a game of tag, and there's a reflex activity against Canal. Even though the three boys might find this a little bit silly to begin all in their own different ways, they do seem to be good beginner exercises to rehabilitate given their injuries. How do you think that each of these activities is going to help them to recover more quickly?
I mean, coming from like an athletic background, like I did, they're doing all the right things for, you know, healing their bodies and getting back to top shape. Stretching is so, so, so important in like the figure skating world, mostly because we do really crazy things with our legs that go above our heads, but it still is important and makes your body feel so much more. I think they use the term limber in here, just like make your bodies like not be so stiff from being bedridden. So, and I think that clearly these butterfly girls know what they're doing. I don't think this is the first time that they've done this. So it's really a great way to get yourself out of bed and get yourself back in that athletic frame of mind without like overdoing it to your body, because you can very quickly overdo it as well once you get over injuries like this. So I think they did a really good job.
Yeah, I think really, you know, kind of what we saw in the fights that gave them all of these injuries, right? Some of their issues were speed and agility, being able to keep up with the movements of the demons. And so, you know, they're focusing on their weaknesses, right? They had their, you know, challenge. They're now owning their own development in the sense that they are, you know, focusing on what's making them weak, specifically like Zenitsu with reflexes. I mean, Thunderclap and Flash is all about reflex, and him playing the reflex game, it makes sense, right? So it's just a very solid plan.
Yeah, I agree. And it's fun to see them go up against like these small children too, in the context, because it's like, obviously we know that Kanao is pretty strong, and we'll get to that in a minute, because she's Mitsugoku for Shinobu, but there's like literal children in this scene also, and they're still kind of like kicking their asses a little bit.
Shout out to my girl Aoi for just like totally kicking their asses throughout this. I'm proud of her.
And like, granted, they all got beat up pretty bad. But it's still kind of funny to watch them kind of get shown up by a group of little girls, basically. But, you know, the girls are mighty in this show, and we love to see it. That being said, I totally agree with both of you that I do think all three of these are going to help. Their strength, their endurance, their agility. The stretches are super important. That's something I should probably implement in my own reset this new year, is just like stretching more. You know, making sure that your muscles are more warmed up, and like using like the flow of like the blood and your breathing to help energize your training as you move forward. The tag being kind of like finding intuition and like being intuitive about like where are your enemies and making sure that like maybe you get them before they get you. And then the reflex activity is fairly obvious, I think, as well. Mm-hmm. Also making sure that you have the faster draw than the other person. So all of these, I think, are going to help them recover pretty well. But they are our boys. They are silly. Boys will be boys. It's interesting to me how they all react to this recuperation training. We mentioned that they just got shown up by a bunch of little girls. Inosuke does not like that. Of course not, because he is like the ultimate mountain macho man. On the other hand, Zenitsu loves the attention from all the girls and is very happy to receive it. And Tanjiro's kind of, I think, indifferent to the like who the attention's coming from. He just wants to keep training and never gives up. Even though the other two lose spirit a bit when it comes to the matter of beating Kanao, because she's the strongest of the group. What do you think of each of their reactions? Is this what you expected from them?
I mean, Zenitsu's reaction, priceless, right? He was like, I'm not going to train. Why would I do that? I'm like sad and scared in bed. I don't even want to take my medicine. And then he gets all mad because he's like, you've been getting attention from all these lovely women. Wah-ha-ha! And that's what gets him to motivate. I mean, I just think it's hilarious. Furthermore, when he's like, I'm not going to splash tea on a lady. Like, that was hilarious. Like, it was so part of his character. It was just too good. I loved how everyone had a different reaction to the training and rehab, but they all still kind of get there, right? Like, in their own way, which is cool.
Yeah, I think that it aligns with their character so well. Tanjiro is just that kid that never gives up. I will say, though, when we first see Inosuke and Tanjiro come back from training before Zenitsu joins them, and their like cheeks are all sunken in, and they're like, huh, and then they go straight to bed. I found that hilarious because we haven't seen Tanjiro like that yet. Even like going through rigorous training, he's always been like, I gotta do it, to the point of like, okay, and now he's passed out. But this time he's like, I can't do it. But him being the one that stayed, you know, consistent with it did not surprise me at all. It's Tanjiro. He, you know, he's the hard worker. He's the one who's like, I'm gonna train them if they're not gonna do it with me. And I think Inosuke, he's still in his little stage of being sorry for himself and feeling like he's maybe not as strong as he used to be. And now he's kind of in this weird situation. So kind of agree with him not doing it. And then Zenitsu, like he wanted all the girls' attention. And I think he just probably got tired of it after a little while and didn't see the reason in continuing on. So it really matches well with their characters.
Totally. Makes sense. Also loved that scene of them in the hospital. I think it lines up pretty well. Although I guess I was a little bit surprised that Zenitsu gave up that easily, because I really thought that his love for being around women would beat out everything else, to be honest. I think that was the most surprising.
I think he's kind of ADD and just like goes from woman to woman. Like,
that's true.
And Nezuko's the only constant in his life.
That's true. And she's still in a box somewhere, so he's got places to be. Oh man. All right. Well, the two boys have given up. Inosuke and Zenitsu have given up on how to defeat Kanao. Tanjiro, of course, never gives up on anything. So he is continuing on the training even while the other two dip out. He's like apologizing on their behalf. And the trainers are like, you know what? Forget about it. We don't even care. They're a waste of time. You've been coming to training. We'll just focus on you. And he still, no matter how much he keeps repeating the same training, he can't defeat Kanao in this reflex game. So he's contemplating how he can possibly defeat her. He's reflecting on his interactions with her and on her scent in particular being very similar to the Hashira. And at first it seems like maybe this is just because she's been trained by one, like she's a Sugoku, she's going to have like similar habits, but like what about it makes the scent different? And so as he's pondering this, one of the cute little girls and the young attendants call on him and ask if he's been performing a total concentration breathing technique the entire time, like the Hashira do and like Kanao does. This had not occurred to him at all. This makes sense that the scent would be changed because of just their nature and their energy. How do you think that this maintained technique assists in their fighting abilities and their strength?
Well, I think total concentration breathing is supposed to be that, like, you get that burst of energy from it. It's supposed to fill your body with oxygen from head to toe so that you get that, like, superhuman strength that these Demon Slayers have, you know, which obviously it's kind of realistic, but also not, because we can't breathe hard enough to be able to jump on top of roofs and stuff in real life. But I think that it clearly is. It's going to make you faster. It's going to make you stronger. It's going to make you overall better, just because you're maintaining that oxygen level being, you know, way higher than the average person. And once you can master that, there's really nothing you can't do in this world, considering that all of their powers have to do with breathing. So I definitely think that it's interesting to get this little new tidbit of information about the technique, and it's a good little additional part of the powers. I'm trying to formulate a sentence here. My brain is all over the place today, but you know, that's what I'm trying to get at, is that it's interesting that they're explaining this. And I think that it will show in the future for sure.
Well, I don't know about y'all, but I mean, I'm lucky enough, I guess not lucky enough. I don't know. I have a CPAP machine. It's essentially total concentration breathing during the middle of the night. It's constant oxygen intake. Okay, listen. But I mean, like, I kind of understand where it's coming from. Like, I have a constant source of oxygen in my body. So like my brain, like, is actually fueled, and like, mm-hmm. to a certain extent, like, there's the believability, at least from my experiences. And like, if there is a technique out there that is actually total concentration breathing, I'd love to learn it, because like, during my sleep, amazing. When I'm awake, not so much. So I think it's very important, like being able to feed the body. Watching Cells at Work recently with how much oxygen delivery it's focused on, it's really helped me understand like the body and its movements and how important just like essential cell function is. So really make sure you focus on your breath, folks. This is a wellness episode brought to you by This Year Half Hour.
Happy New Year. You got to do some stretches and you got to do some breathing. Peak physical form. No, and it makes sense, right? Like these are things that regular athletes are told and that like regular wellness gurus are going to advise you to do.
Yeah.
And over time, if you continue to practice these efforts, it's going to be second nature. Mm-hmm. So even though like for Tanjiro right now, this is like a labor that I think he can't even fully fathom at this point, it's something I think that has just fully become second nature to all of the rest of the Hashira. And probably has lended to their individual styles as well. So it's something that was already inherent to like their personalities and their vibes that's just become part of the fighting technique as well. So I think it's pretty cool. And he just needs to learn how to do it. So he does end up taking this advice to heart. He begins to train harder, just like he did in the mountains with Arokodaki. He's increasing his lung capacity, his running stamina, and many other things, just building up his strength. He takes some time to even meditate one evening, and Shinobu joins him. And at this point, we get to hear a little bit about her backstory, which we have not really heard so far. He's really good at picking up on scents. He picks up on the scent of her anger very quickly. And as we've surmised about her in past episodes, there is more to her smile than meets the eye. We learn that her sister was defeated and killed by a demon. And while she wants Tanjiro to succeed with Nezuko, that there is lingering anger and resentment and pain when she sees people like herself negatively affected by demons. Mm. How difficult do you think that it is knowing this for her to reset her thinking to accommodate Tanjiro and Nezuko's situation?
I mean, I think this is one of the moments of this episode that really talks about like larger scale issues, right? Like, I feel like this is very similar to like really any, you know, large issue that we face in society today. It's like your anecdotal experience being countered by something that you've seen in real life, and you don't know how to cope with the blended reality that is those two individual experiences being able to coexist next to each other, right? Like you have these feelings that like demons are bad. My family was destroyed by demons and so was this other person's, but now they're trying to reconcile it. It's definitely a state of turmoil. And you can kind of see that in the way that she smiles is like her coping mechanism to try and fight through that anger, like not to be mad at Tanjiro because he still deserves happiness, even though she didn't get that outcome for herself.
Yeah. First of all, I'd like to say, I think I've said this a few times, Tanjiro's social cues need a little bit of work. You don't just ask someone, are you angry?
Yeah.
Every time he does that, I'm like, Tanjiro, like, maybe not. But I think it ended up being good because we saw her open up to him. But I don't even know if this whole situation for her is difficult for her. I think that she's excited about it because she's talking about her sister's dream, and her sister was always saying that, you know, she wanted to be friends with demons and that she wanted to, you know, find good ones and that sort of thing. And that she was empathetic towards them, just like how Tanjiro is. And she's seeing her sister's dream in Nezuko, you know, and I think that's why she might've been so quick to understand the situation much more than the other Hashiras. You know, we saw them really fight Master Ubiashiki, and she kind of just went along with it at that point. It was tough at the beginning, but then she got it figured out. So I don't think that it's really difficult for her. I think it's more exciting for her. And I think that she's very thankful to have met these siblings and that it's going to change the trajectory of her life, you know, for the rest of her life, in her opinion, because she's finally seeing that dream of her sisters come true.
That's true. I guess there's like a melancholy component to it then there,
yeah.
That, you know,
like bittersweet that Kane isn't there to see it.
Yeah. And I think that she still has some resentment to work through before she's going to be able to fully accept the situation. But it is what her sister would have wanted. So out of that and respect for the master, I think she is going to try to help where she can. Mm-hmm. But she's going to be conflicted about it.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. All right. Well, that's the majority of what happened in this episode. We had some good call outs all around. Does anyone have any final thoughts or anything you wanted to bring up before we jump into our favorite moments? Cool.
I think.
Go for it, Brian.
Just those little girls being so cute.
They are so cute.
I love them. The butterfly triplets. They're so cute.
They are so, so sweet. We love the sweet butterfly girls in this house.
Yes.
Cool. All right. Well, we're going to keep it short and sweet this week. Jump right into our favorite moments. I'll go ahead and go first. We didn't talk about him much in this episode. It didn't really move everything forward a whole lot, but we did get to see that Murata was okay. Granted, we have to like define okay here. He was looking pretty tired and gaunt, but he was there and we will take it nonetheless. I love like all the hospital sequences. They're always so goofy, and these boys get beat up in this show over and over. So there's a lot of them. One of the last episodes that I was looking at that we did, I was like, they were just in the hospital. And that's kind of the thing, is like, they're fighting with these very human bodies against demons that can immediately regenerate. So there are going to be these reset recuperation arcs, but they're so funny every single time. Hannah mentioned like when Tanjiro and Inosuke come back in looking totally exhausted and they don't even say a word. And it's just like, wait, no, guys, you have to tell me what to expect because I'm coming tomorrow. They're like, they just lay down and go to sleep. Bed. And I'm like, same. but I love the interactions, and I like when Murata gets thrown into the mix because he seems like not always present, but definitely the fourth wheel whenever he's there.
Oh man, Murata is that character that is the most relatable to me in this entire show. He's just there doing his best. But my favorite, I feel like going at this slightly different than normal, so my apologies, but I just finished the Chimera Ant arc of Hunter x Hunter. And let me get one thing straight. I'm not going to put Hunter x Hunter down because I think it's a great show. However, there was so much freaking filler in that arc. I was like, we got to get to something. Come on. We specifically laughed when 10 episodes had passed and the narrator went, 3 minutes have gone since the
Oh my God.
No.
And we were just like, are you for real right now? Anyway, there's a point to this. I love Hunter x Hunter. But I really like how this is like one of three filler episodes in the entire season. And it's fun and it's cute. And it's just like, okay, like we've seen them fight really hard. We go from this emotional, exciting draw of episode 19 to this scary moment where we think, you know, what's the future for Nezuko and Tanjiro? And now we're just getting this fun interaction between them, but they're still on par with the training. They're still, you know, learning new things. They're still rehabilitating as they need to because they experience severe injuries. And I think that, you know, it just reminded me of how well written I think this story is. Not to say that Hunter x Hunter is not. I know it's very common for animes to have lots of filler, but I just like sitting there thankful that like we get this one episode, it's fun, and then we're gonna get pretty much right back into it in the next few episodes. So that's my favorite thing about this episode, is that it's just like, it's one cute filler and then we're gonna move on.
Yeah, I think my favorite part about this episode is watching Tanjiro pretend he's back on the mountain with Orokudaki, running around the butterfly mansion, like running on the fences and stuff. Like he's trying to actively like reinvigorate himself with memories of a time where he was like, okay, like I got to find a way to continually motivate myself. And, you know, speaking of resetting, right? Like that's the way to reset, right? Like you come back to your core, you come back to the things that like sparked your drive to start, and then you kind of push forward from there. So I definitely think this is you know, a solid moment for him in the sense that it's like not a like fighting moment, it's a moment to like re-solidify his resolve, and I really like that for his character arc.
I love him.
Sweet. This is my Tanjiro soapbox now.
Yay! Oh. Dangerous game.
Sometimes someone other than Hannah's got to do it.
Hannah's back breaking from carrying the weight of Tanjiro.
It's hard being the biggest Tanjiro stan ever. Just saying. I carry the entire Tanjiro fandom.
Oh my gosh. All right, guys. Well, I think that that about does it. Like I said, we're going to keep it short and sweet. We got some good stuff coming up, though. So thank you again for another great week. Happy New Year again to everyone listening in. I hope that you've all had a great start, and I wish everyone a healthy and prosperous year moving forward. We're looking forward to hopefully sharing some of it with you. If you're still wanting to follow along with us, don't forget to like, subscribe, comment, and do all the things. If you leave us a question in the comments, you might get to see us answer it in a future episode. And we appreciate you listening in today. We'll see you all next time. Umai.
Umai.
Umai, and Happy New Year.